Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian. I'm joined by the Danny Tanner to this family, Rich Stambolian.
Oh, that's a weird one. That's a weird one. R.I.P.
I mean, you like to clean. Aren't you like a clean boy? You always clean.
I am a pretty clean guy.
Little bit of a germaphobe.
Not so much a germaphobe. I just don't like gross shit. I think that's normal, though.
Like Bulgarian men open mouth kissing you? I get that.
Yeah, pretty much. Getting hit by eucalyptus leaves in a sauna, like, not my cup of tea.
Not your cup of tea? Somebody messaged me about the story about when my grandfather was alive, he would have all these random Bulgarian men that show up at the house, and he would do, like, this money exchange with them. And somebody messaged me. He's like, dude, that's like my life story too. My grandfather did the same thing and I have no idea what it was. I was like, you know what? At least there's somebody else that experienced my childhood traumas.
There's always somebody out there.
There's always somebody out there. This is a show all about professional wrestling. And man, the industry is changing by the moment. Things are getting hot by the moment. A lot of news to talk about today. Obviously, the big story is going to be, and a lot of our concentration is going to be, about Ring of Honor being purchased by Tony Khan.
Boy, howdy.
And you know, we'll go into that. But, you know, before we do, Rich, why don't you talk about something we're working on with Double or Nothing coming up?
Guys, so we're trying to include everybody in this, and we kind of want to make something a little bit special. And, you know, just to get us to Vegas, we want to be there for you guys. We want to be able to do a show. We have a kind of a stacked podcast weekend, but at this point, we would like to try to crowdfund it. And if you guys want to see us out there, we're going to try to figure out how to do it a little better this weekend. But for example, like today, if you wanted to crowdfund us with the line Viva Las Vegas on the YouTube super chat, that would be awesome, right? That money would go into like a fund for our trip for Andrew and myself. And during that weekend, we'll be doing shows all weekend with the Wrestling Observer guys and a few other people. You will get shout outs. We're trying to do incentives for anybody who's willing to donate. Did I cover that properly?
Yeah,
Andrew?
I think you did a great job. Yeah. And also, we want to get the boys out there too. We want to get MG Geek out there. We want to get Suncast out there to enjoy the show and to kind of produce some stuff. So, listen, crazy expensive these flights. Man, I don't know if that's gonna play a part in this. I think they're going to sell it out regardless. But I was shocked how expensive it was. And then I remembered it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's a very expensive weekend for Vegas. So if you guys want to do this, you guys want to help us out and get the crew down there.
Yeah.
Hit us up with some super chats here. Also, sign up for the Patreon. You could fund us there also. But the super chats, we'll be able to kind of organize and figure out where the money goes. Listen, I think it's going to be a lot of fun that weekend, and we want to keep the party going. So we'll have more information, obviously, in the coming days. Also, this Sunday is a packed evening of a lot of Matt Men wrestling talk. Wrestling Observer Live from 6 p.m. From 6 to 7, I'll be doing Wrestling Observer Live. And I got to figure out who I'm having on. I want to get Brian on the show, because I want to do the pay-per-view with him for the first hour. But the second hour, it's a Matt Men takeover of Wrestling Observer Live. We're going to be live from 7 to 8, running down the car, talking about everything happening, obviously, in pro wrestling and, of course, on the show for Double or Nothing. Right after that, we're going to go, bam, right into our watch-along. So we'll be live for like 6-7 hours on Sunday night. Looking forward to this. Looking forward to this. By the way, Bob Rowe, $10, hashtag Viva Las Vegas. I'm very anti-Memorial Day in Vegas. I think he knows how crazy Memorial... Oh, you know what? Did he get married that weekend?
I think
Bob got married in Vegas on Memorial Day weekend.
I think that's why he has the anti-Memorial Day sentiment, as he explained to us a couple of weeks ago. He was like, you guys don't want to go to Vegas. I got married in Vegas.
Thank you to Brutal Bob Rowe, my attorney. The attorney to the stars, Brutal Bob Bro. Yes, in 1996, he got married. So let's go into this, man. I'll start off with what my day was like. Yesterday, I got a phone call in the morning, essentially saying, like, Tony's announcement has to do with a tape library. Tony's announcement has to do with the fact that he is acquired. And this call, I spoke to someone within WWE also to kind of verify this. The call I got was through someone that is not too familiar with pro wrestling, right? More on media, like he's on the media side of things. You guys kind of piece things together. And right, he mentioned it's a international pro wrestling promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Ring of Honor? And they looked at me like, I don't know what that is. I was like, all right. I know it can't be New Japan because New Japan has a lot of licensing agreements already, and it's partially owned by a TV network in Japan. What is it? Asahi? I'm going to pronounce it wrong.
Sure.
whatever the station is. Then when I spoke to some people within WWE, and many of them believe that Tony's announcement was that he was buying a Japanese promotion. That was not New Japan. So I'm like, okay, what's available? And you start doing the math. I'm like, well, DDT is and Noah, the rights are owned by one company. So, and I think MG, if you're, he just stepped out. The one time I needed him,
happens whenever you ask him something, he's like, he's gone, like in a puff of smoke.
I know.
So I'm back.
He did. MG, what was the? This is like a real morning show. Our producer, MGD. You know what we got to do with him? We got to do the Baba Booey effect where he's using like one of these mics. Remember when like Baba Booey would talk, his mic was distorted? Who owns the archives for? Who owns the tape library?
Company. Yeah, I'm working on it.
When you get it, just interject. So I'm well, a lot of this makes sense. And I have been hearing the rumblings of HBO Max. I know people within Warner Media believe that that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
The soccer deal that HBO Max has signed for live content is a big tell here that they're able to do live content here. So, I think the HBO Max thing is still going to happen. I made a post yesterday. I think these are all things that is in the works. May not have been his announcement last night, but these are all things that are happening. So last night, Dynamite opens up. Tony Khan, his big announcement. Actually, a lot of ROH reps were down there also. So I started getting that around 6 o'clock.
I was like,
this is happening. Okay, what's my answer, MG?
Cyber Agent is the name of the company. And they made an umbrella company for DDT, Josie Pro, and Noah.
Okay, thank you.
So that's essentially what it is.
Okay. So, Tony comes out. He was fired up, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Tony Khan was fired up. Eyes are big. He's looking at the camera. He's doing the Shane's not here, which was hysterical.
That was good.
Yeah. So he announces that he's the new owner of Ring of Honor, the sole owner of Ring of Honor. And early in the morning, Sean Rossap put out a Fightful Select article. Sean's been on top of this unbelievably. And he essentially Ring of Honor could be up for sale. And the value is anywhere from $20 to $30 to $40 million. I can't remember the exact. Wow, Brandon, $100 in the chat. If Cole doesn't win, we ride. Also, goes dark. Does dark get rebranded for ROH? That's a great question. Viva Las Vegas. We're up to $151 already. Wow.
Brandon, thank you. The other super chats, they are more like questions, so we will get to those when it's our
absolutely
question and answer.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
Very much.
Awesome. Awesome start to the day. So awesome start to our crowdfunding to get us to Vegas.
Our road to Las Vegas.
So he announces that he's a sole owner. Simultaneously, he put out a press release. And in the press release, he talks about keeping the honor, keeping the legacy of Ring of Honor intact. Mm-hmm. And he also said he's doing his best to find a streaming service or a platform to provide this content as soon as he can. ROH Honor Club is not the answer here.
I don't think
we also don't know what's going to happen with the distribution for Ring of Honor TV now that Sinclair's out of this. I can't imagine they're still going to keep it on Ring of Honor on Sinclair channels. Mm-hmm. And essentially Sinclair offloaded this because they had some financial issues. They realized that there's no money for them to make. It's been, somewhat of a loss for them. They dumped a lot of money in their staging and their production right before the pandemic mm-hmm. happens. And, what are you going to do with this? Now, here's a big question. What does Tony do with this? The archives, listen, the library, the tape library is extremely valuable, especially for AEW when you're building a streaming platform that could potentially be your own or, you know, I'm leaning towards they're not going to build an infrastructure on their own. They're not going to want to deal with that. They have a built-in relationship with Warner Media, and what better way to have your product in front of like 40 to, I think it's like 48 million people, 50 million people, front and center when they log into HBO Max. I think that's the most logical deal here. I think that's the easiest and painless deal. But, you know, everything could go right. It's business. Everything changes. But now here's the question. What does Tony do with Ring of Honor? And is it valuable? Is running Ring of Honor as it's a separate entity valuable? Do you think so, Rich?
I think so. I think the bottom line for a lot of this stuff and a lot of stuff that we cover is that pro wrestling is a tough business. It is a tough business to get into. It's a tough business to make work, right? I think just to piggyback on what you said before about Sinclair kind of saw the writing on the wall and they were like, eh, we're not really going to push this forward as much as we could be. A guy like Tony Khan, I think, is the perfect, he's the perfect storm to buy Ring of Honor. Just because I think he, me personally, and I think a lot of fans out there, he can probably make it work in a unique way. Right? Would you agree with that?
Ring of Honor, yeah. He's a very smart man, okay?
Right.
I think he understands what he's doing, and he understands better than all of us that are analyzing this because he's in it. But the 2000s brought me to love wrestling because of Ring of Honor. I was always a wrestling fan, but it really showed me what, you know, non-WWE really good wrestling could be. And those Danielson matches, those, I mean, that 2002 to 2008, I was very much into Ring of Honor. But, you know, how much value does it have? And are you, you know, branding a Ring of Honor show, does it do anything? No, you know what I was thinking? AEW, the show that they film at Universal, Dark, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Dark? It's Dark that they film there. Dark Elevation, why, you know, that's a show that you could brand as a Ring of Honor and continue that whole Ring of Honor tradition with a lot of the younger guys. And then you're putting in a couple of these guys like a Danielson and whatever every now and then to do something over there. The other thing you could do, and most likely they'll end up doing this, is those reunion shows like One Night Stand. You know what? You know,
yeah.
The Hammerstein's available for everybody. You know, it might be cool to do a reunion show sponsored with an AEW umbrella in the Hammerstein Ballroom with the Ring of Honor talent that, you know, you get Homicide, you get all those dudes in there. And I think it'd be a fantastic product. Now, does Ring of Honor TV happen? I don't know. I don't know if they get weekly TV. I don't know what you do with these guys. It's a big what if, and it's a big, you know, will it sell? What's a more valuable brand? AEW is way more valuable than Ring of Honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the other bottom line too. When you think about it, people always forget that Tony Khan is he's a huge numbers guy. You know, like arguably one of the biggest numbers guys in sports, right? Like he's
I get a little excited when you say that.
I know. I feel like I'm at the edge of the volcano right now.
You
know,
that's what I do when I hear numbers.
He's getting all squidgy. So that being said, like people forget about that. They think he's just like a figurehead, like a Vince McMahon or like a character on TV, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't think this guy would have bought Ring of Honor if he didn't see like that matrix within the numbers, right? And I think what he has planned is probably will surpass whatever we're talking about, you know? Let it rest a little bit. We talked about this a couple of months ago when the whole Ring of Honor thing happened about them kind of closing their doors. I think the first thing we said was, why can't Tony Khan buy it? And him looking at those numbers will definitely lead to something very interesting, whether it's the tape library being available on HBO Max, whether it's like an invasion angle of talent, you know, there's going to be, I think, a lot of fun stuff to come out of this, you know? And I like what you said before, where that early aughts style of wrestling that was post ECW was Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Well, they were the you know, it's funny because ECW kind of splintered into multiple organizations, you know, like Ring of Honor obviously played a huge, ECW was the, you know, the remnants of ECW went into Ring of Honor, but it also went into CZW. So you kind of split that company into two. Yeah. I would say, and then we'll go into some of the sale stories, but I would say that this is, you know, this is an interesting part of the business. Ring of Honor doesn't have the name that it does. You know, if this was 2019, you know, obviously AEW didn't exist in early 2019 the way that it exists today. But if this was 2018, it would have been a different story because Ring of Honor's value was a lot higher. You know, unfortunately, between talent getting raided and it getting a little stale and the pandemic and the reliance on New Japan, they did not really create top tier talent the way that they should have. Yeah. You know, what ifs, whose fault, you know, these are all questions that you bring up, but at the end of the day, 2022, Tony now owns Ring of Honor. It's going to be, I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but historically, when you look at this, generally those companies die, right? We saw this with Crockett. Okay. We saw this Crockett in Florida, where the Crockett name was way bigger. We saw this with WWE and WCW. Barely attempted it. ECW too, it came back and it didn't really do much. So I'm very curious what they do with this, but the big story here is the library, the content of 20 years.
Oh my God, so much content.
In 2018, and I believe we were talking about this in 2018, WWE was actively attempting to acquire the library or purchase Ring of Honor. This was something that Triple H wanted to do. It was a big Hunter push, and I think they were off on the price because at that point, WWE was doing the standard for the tape library. And I believe, I could be wrong here, but for whatever reason in my mind, it stuck at $340 to $380 per hour of content. Right. Now, I don't know if that was their standard for everything, but I do believe that that's how they bought some of these archives in years past. So, you know, how much money is that worth? I don't know. I don't know how many hours of footage Ring of Honor has that's accessible, you know, that they put out there. But listen, man, I think organizing this and putting it on an HBO Max, and now you have, you know, your AEW content, you have AEW Dynamite, you have Dark Elevation, you got your pay-per-views, you put Ring of Honor on there, you put all the Ring of Honor pay-per-views on there. Maybe you acquire, you know, you get the rights for some other content in Japan, and you're looking at this and saying, wow, you know what? There's a little bit of a library here. You're not just stuck with 2.5 years, 2.5 years of AEW content where one of those years is filled in an empty building.
Right. You know, I think also they probably have a good media plan going forward with this stuff, especially with their recent acquisition of all these, like Punk and Danielson. I think would lend itself to like these up. They do such great work with those video packages. Just imagine watching Dynamite, and then much like years ago when WWE would plug the network, you know, you can see all this content and more on XYZ streaming on whatever HBO Max or whatever it is. I think it's very interesting, especially since. Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
All right. I think this whole thing is interesting. And do you think that WWE is internally miffed that they could not get that library, or was that Peacock deal so big that it's a matter of who cares?
It's definitely not a matter of who cares. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
You know, spoke to a couple of people last night, and I would say that it was not a surprise, but it was like, wow, okay. I do believe WWE wanted that. At one point, they wanted that archive. They really, you know, they are the tape collector. They are the keeper of history, you know? The Library of Alexandria is on Peacock for pro wrestling. Yes. And they control that narrative. And I think we spoke about this a while ago. I think we were talking about this when AEW was coming up. And you brought up the fact that WWE has an advantage in pro wrestling. They will always have that advantage because they control the narrative. Right. And this is the first time in the history of, I guess, how we've consumed media in the last 20 years, that somebody else has beat WWE at getting access to content. And this is a rarity. This doesn't happen too often. I don't expect this to happen too often, but you know, you could see the pivotal shift with WWE. If they wanted this content, they would have gotten it. And I know that Tony probably, you know, paid more than what WWE was willing to pay for it, but it just shows you the priority shift from sports entertainment to pro wrestling. Because right now, their 10-year goal is not to raid the indies and Japan for top-tier talent. Their 10-year goal over the next decade is to cultivate and create talent from within and having those guys be internal.
Yeah, I think if this happened 5 years ago, there would be a huge bidding war.
Oh, it wouldn't have even been an option. I think WWE would have, even a year ago, dude, I think WWE would have 100%. So WWE wanted this. I know that for a fact, but obviously priorities change. Hunter's not there. And you got Seth Rollins, you got AJ Styles, and maybe a couple handful of guys that were in Ring of Honor. But at this point, it's not the same roster that WWE had in 2017 and 2018 when they really would have used this for documentary reasons.
Yeah. Well, there is an argument to be said that, like, well, these guys are more famous now than they ever were, so it doesn't really matter to us, you know? But when it was like the height of the Adam Cole stuff, that would have been the perfect time. Or like Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish and all those guys.
Sammy and Kevin are probably the most valuable one to them right now.
Absolutely.
But listen, man, I think this is a first step in a interesting direction for AEW. And by the way, you want to talk about the business side, right? Let's talk about this.
Sure.
And I sent this to you yesterday. What they did with this purchase is up the company's evaluation. Their value now is up because they have assets. When you're evaluating a company, you don't just look at their financials. You don't look at how much money they're making, how much money they're making. You also look at the assets that they've accumulated over the years. AEW, because they're a new company, really doesn't have too much asset because they don't have an archive footage. They don't really... it's a new company, and the more asset that you build, the more valuable it is. I'll give you a great example from my personal life. A lot of the hospitality groups that I work with, right? During the pandemic, they reached out to me and they're like, okay, give us a strategy on not spending money and staying open. And every one of them wanted to sell off assets, vehicles, promotional stuff. You know, if you're a club, you're getting rid of your DJing equipment, all this stuff, right? And I would tell them, I'm like, why are you doing that? And their answer to me was, well, I don't need it. And when I do need it, I'll buy it again. And you know what happened to these guys? A lot of these groups sold. And they sold for under their value because they don't have assets. So what would WCW have been worth if their TV library was not available? Probably nothing.
Exactly.
By the way, that $3 million story is such a BS story that they bought it for $3 million.
Yeah, is it a kayfabe?
They bought it for $3 million, but signed a $20 million ad deal for the year with Turner Advertising. So, you know, the price was not $3 million. So, you know, you got to look at it in that sense. And Tony's a very smart guy. You know, if this is one piece of the puzzle, who else is next? I do think that they would benefit from having some sort of Japanese content that nobody else has access to. PWG, I don't think that they're interested in doing this, but you know what? It's another product that the content is not available online. You know, you have access to these things, and WWE's network, it's not theirs anymore. They don't really care. They're making as much money as possible. Putting Ring of Honor content on Peacock is not going to change their business. I don't think it's going to do anything to them financially. If you look at, you know, that side of things. But for AEW, I think it's a big benefit. And I think if they do go on HBO Max, I think it's a benefit for HBO Max as well.
Absolutely. Because, listen, HBO Max has everything. It's a hub for so much stuff. And it's also a no-brainer, too, you know, especially with the Turner connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is all really, really interesting stuff. Listen, man, that Hall of Fame footage now, Tony's going to own it. His guys going in the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame. You know, there's a lot to do, but I think if I don't know if he's going to run house shows, I don't know how much benefit and financial benefit. You know, would you go to a Ring of Honor house show, Rich, or would you go to an AEW house show if they're in town?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would probably go to the AEW house show.
Probably go to an AEW show, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I don't. You could make the name, the trademark into something that's not a, you know, you still have the AEW guys there, but you're calling something Ring of Honor. You're calling a show Ring of Honor. You could do something. It's just a matter of what. Man, are you going to get the Euphoria crossover with Ring of Honor now? that's what I want to see. I want to see MJF on Euphoria.
I feel like within the next 5 years, you're going to see these dudes popping up in weird places.
So technically, they're in the DC universe, are they not?
Yeah, I think they should be, even though I think Nyla Rose has a X-Men comic coming out in a couple of months.
Nyla has an X-Men comic? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's co-writing it, and I forgot the title, but it's like X-Men something, and it's Nyla Rose and another writer, and it's coming out in like a couple of months. Very interesting,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So, I mean, listen, man, I what do you think of this? I want to get your opinion. What do you think they do with this? Let me ask you this. What would you like to see them do with this?
That's a good question, because I feel like I'm such a fanboy, and listen, I'm easy to please, number one. Number two,
tell me about
do I want to see Dalton Castle? Yes. Do I want to see the Briscoes? These guys are not under contract anymore, but I do want to see like fun Ring of Honor stuff. The first name that popped into my head was, oh, great. Does this deal come with Samoa Joe? I want to see that happen. I want to see like interesting, not stuff that'll get shoved down your throat, but just kind of like fun fan stuff. Like, let's say the Briscoes show up and basically they're like, oh, you thought we would just go away, etc. You know, like,
yeah,
we're going to show you exactly who we are. And it would bring a lot of those recent Ring of Honor guys, like all that talent, to put them on a big stage like this. You know, like, look what happened to Eddie Kingston, right? Like, arguably one of the staunchest indie guys. You put him on that big stage and look what happened. Right. Yeah. This guy is on a pay-per-view with Chris Jericho. Fascinating stuff. Yeah. Who's to say that couldn't happen with a lot of those Ring of Honor guys that were released from their contract? I thought we were going to get a combination of Ring of Honor, PWG, Lucha Underground, Dragon Gate, and FMW. Tony Khan buys them all.
Dude, you know, like, there is a market for that. A very small market, but there is a market. It just matters, you know, how much. I'm sure Tony would want to do it, but how much do they want for it? D. Eddie in the chat room, best thing, and I'm going to, the best comment I've seen, stream on Discovery Plus, Lance Archer and Jake Roberts can host their own house flipping show.
There you go.
Every house they buy smells like cigarettes, though. It has to be smelling like cigarettes and like water stains on the floor.
But they're actually physically flipping the houses.
They're actually physically flipping, yeah. So, you know, this is a lot. So, obviously, in the press release, it includes the Ring of Honor library, brand assets, intellectual property, production equipment, and more. I don't know what the more would be. Maybe the office that they. I don't know. I don't know if they own the building or what. But more details are going to be coming in the coming weeks. So they didn't announce the streaming service, but they did say that they are adding this to their library.
Mm-hmm.
So that is implying a streaming deal, and that is implying that they want this to be in a good position. I don't think this is going to be some rinky-dink website with just Ring of Honor and AEW content on that. This is going to be done in the right way. So we'll see that in a couple of weeks. So, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I got a fanboy question for you. Yeah. Can we go down a 2-minute rabbit hole of Cody kayfabe when it comes to this?
Oh, I saw that. Everybody thinks Cody's running Ring of Honor. This is his thing. Man, what a swerve that would be.
That would be awesome. Listen, these guys are very buddy-buddy for a lot of years. If you watch Roads to the Top, it's a lot of bromance between Cody and Fred Armisen, Tony Khan.
Fred Armisen's going to play Tony Khan in his made-for-TV movie.
That would be amazing.
The Tony Khan story.
So what do you think? Do you think that's a kayfabe 2.0 possibility?
I don't think so. I think it would be, man, what a swerve that would be, and it would be like a fascinating pro wrestling angle, but I don't think that's the case here. I don't think that's... I think Cody would have
the Ring of Honor.
I think Cody would have been. Oh yeah, he did have the Ring of Honor. Is that where that stupid ring comes from? I hate that ring, by the way.
The MJF ring?
The MJF ring. I'm curious if that's where it came from, the whole thing.
It probably was like the origin of that. Do you think with the purchase of Ring of Honor, Tony Khan also bought the ghost of Jim Cornette?
He comes with every wrestling promotion, dude. He haunts you.
It's like the Horcruxes. Like,
he just
like
tells
Voldemort.
You're doing everything wrong.
Just, oh, like, boy.
Yeah, he just like floats out. Every time Vince is like coming out with some ridiculous angle, it's just Jim Cornette popping out like a ghost of him, just screaming at him.
He's of his soul.
So, Dynamite. Do you want to go into Dynamite or you want to go into more news stuff here?
Let's see. Let's jump into Dynamite really quick. I feel like this is going to be a very AEW heavy episode just because we have the purchase of Ring of Honor and also
dude, we got Vince
pay-per-view
McMahon news
this weekend. Yeah, we do it. You know what? You want to do get the AEW stuff out of the way and then we'll hit that WWE.
Yeah.
So last night after Tony Khan's big announcement of buying Ring of Honor, he also announced a redo of the main event of the first Ring of Honor show, Bryan Danielson and Christopher Daniels. A lot of guys with two first names.
Yeah. And 20 years ago, this match happened.
Really nuts, right? And these guys still look like these guys can still go. There are like Bryan Danielson is arguably the best in the world right now, right?
Hang on, little production note. MG, put out a tweet telling people to use the hashtag AskMattMen. I forgot to do that today. And guys, if you want your super chat, you want to do a super chat, we're going to answer your questions at the end of the show. So submit your super chat. It's going in the queue and we will do our best to answer it.
And also, like I said before, we're trying to crowdfund that Las Vegas trip. So if you want to super chat us with the hashtag Viva Las Vegas, that goes into the pot.
Awesome.
So yeah, that main event, that first match, Christopher Daniels gets beat by Bryan Danielson. That's a mouthful, by the way. It's very tough to say if you want to say that real quick.
Yeah.
It's a lot of first names. And Mox saves Mox saves Daniels from getting his head kicked in. Are they going to name John Moxley John Moxelson now?
John Moxicil.
Just to ruin it.
Yeah, Amoxicillin.
Fun yeah, main event, man.
Yeah, man. I thought those two guys work really well together.
Young Bucks win the Casino Tag Team Royale. Very, very quick-paced, fantastic matchup between all these tag teams.
Yeah, very quick. What did you think of that, the tag team thing?
I loved it.
Do you think it was too much for 2 weeks in a row?
No, I thought it was fun. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was nice to see Top Flight back in action. I was kind of like, I always have like my little fanboy wishes, and one of them was, what if Kenny and Kota show up?
I have some news on Kenny too. I'll save that for the news segment. You know what was absurd though? So the way that ring is set like at an angle, and you have the ramp just comes up and meets it. So when they were like getting thrown over, one of the guys from FTR, I forgot which one, was on the thing, and Jim Ross is like, his feet didn't touch the black section. Like 1 foot only touched the black carpet, so he's still in. So he had to like shimmy to the side to take the spot, to bump.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought it was fine. I liked it better this week than last week for some reason. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Maybe I was paying a little bit more attention this week because I was watching it live, but I enjoyed it a little bit more.
I think, listen, man, like that tag team landscape is
huge.
So phenomenal there, right? Like, think about it. Like, these are the best tag teams in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The tag division is so stacked with guys that people like, you know. And here's the thing, like, to a WWE fan, they may not give a shit about the Best Friends or half those guys in the ring, right? But to AEW, those guys are over. You know, when Orange Cassidy comes out, when any of those guys, like, they're so over. The Acclaimed, so over with that crowd. I'm a big Acclaimed fan, by the way. I like their act.
Oh, same
I think
here.
They have a great act.
Now, I tweeted something out last night, and I kind of want to get your opinion on this.
Yeah.
I think WWE has conditioned us, like the older fans, I guess, to see a tag team and think, who's going to be the Jannetty?
Of who? Of which team?
of every team that you look at, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
WWE has spoiled us to think, like, well, somebody's got to turn on somebody, right?
I don't know. You know, Matt, like, I think Haster has a lot of upside.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys are great, though. But a lot of them are tag team acts, you know? Like, I don't think Santana and Ortiz should break up. I think they're a fantastic tag team. They've always been a great tag team. The Bucks, same thing. O'Reilly and Fish could go solo. I think O'Reilly's the future, right?
Yes.
Because Fish is a little older, too, you know, and he's banged up a little bit. But I think, like, O'Reilly has a ton of upside on that side. I love Bobby Fish, though. He's fantastic.
Same here.
Love the gimmick. Love the whole look.
With that group, with that tag team, though, you know, you could easily, I'm not saying this is going to happen anytime soon, but you could easily transition Bobby Fish into a managerial role for Kyle O'Reilly, and it would still work, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens here. I thought it was done really well.
Next up, you had the CM Punk promo with the MJF swerve.
Wow, what a promo.
What a great promo. You can almost kind of see what was going to happen coming from a mile away, because both guys decided to wear their brightest, whitest outfits to the ring.
So, he came out wearing the white t-shirt. And
yeah. Which they should still sell, by the way.
They should start selling those white t-shirts. And I was like, oh, maybe it's like a glimpse into the future with him and Danielson. Because Danielson only wears a white t-shirt because he doesn't want to think about what he's going to wear.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. He's wearing a white t-shirt. Maybe it's like after this feud, he feuds with, by the way, WWE, Ryan, our friend Ryan posted, WWE's terminated its partnership with Russian broadcaster Match.
Oh, interesting.
And shut down WWE Network in Russia effective immediately.
Wow.
Interesting. So WWE has killed programming in Russia. Good job by Ryan on that post. He's going to be in Vegas.
Listen, if we keep this up, we're going to be in Vegas.
We're going to be in Vegas if we keep this up. So, sorry, I lost my, where Punk,
you were talking about Punk and Danielson and the white t-shirts.
The white t-shirts. So I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe they're doing that. And then MJF came out in all his white.
Uh-huh. It's a white suit.
In his white suit. And I was like, what's gonna happen? And then I, you know, you saw what a crazy spot, huh?
Great spot. Really interesting promo from Punk saying, like, you know, I wake up in the morning and I look at myself, am I the bad guy, etc. And then him alluding to what are those wacky noises? And
you know what's funny? Yeah. I shut down Skype on this machine, it's still pinging me when people message me.
Punk alluding to his past WWE feuds, and it sucks that he can't say The Undertaker. No, he was like, I took the ashes of another wrestler's former manager and smeared them on his body. And I made an alcoholic drink, you know, and all that stuff. There's nothing like a very well-timed nutshot in pro wrestling.
Oh, he's so good at that, too.
Right? So you got the MJF nutshot, Punk busted open. MJF takes off his jacket. He's got the picture of him and Punk. This is like a bloody mess. Punk, if you watch like the close up on one of the camera angles, you could see the gash on Punk's head squirting blood. You know,
so
whatever they did, they got him like perfectly. And you know what? Kudos to Punk. He
by the way,
does
that
not
promo,
have to do that.
MJF cut a 2005 CM Punk promo back to him.
Oh, that's right.
When he had him tied up, and he's like, I'm a snake. You know, and I'm the devil in disguise. I thought that was a CM Punk promo from 2005. He got the same exact promo in the ring. Very well. You know what, though? That there's thought put into it, you know?
Yes.
And I love continuity.
Yes.
And so that's something that's always lacking in wrestling. Like, people forget things all the time in wrestling. You don't have these throwbacks in WWE because the way that their business operates is that they know that the fans will forget very quickly.
Exactly. Except I think that's the interesting thing about AEW is that it's the place where fans never forget.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and also there's like an interesting parallel here too between, like, you know, you're kind of starting to see a separation of styles within AEW, right? Where guys like Punk and MJF and guys like The Revival are like very old school, kind of like hard hitting, hard promo style guys, right? It's like there's not much choreography there. And I think that works for fans like us.
Yeah, man, I think it's they're kind of solidifying what they are as a product, and it's pro wrestling, you know? And there's an entire generation that was brought up on not knowing pro wrestling.
Quote-unquote pro wrestling.
Like how, you know what? The era that we grew up in with wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
We grew up in a weird period where we had this, like, toned-down version from 92 to 98 or 97 okay. or 96, you know, whatever that 5-year period was. Uh-huh. That was a core builder for a lot of kids our age.
Yeah.
That got into wrestling. And then the Attitude Era hit at the exact time that we were teenagers. So it kind of
perfect.
it was perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Because we watched it as a kid and then we were old enough to understand like this more mature content, or we didn't understand it. We just more enjoyed it. I think AEW now is kind of filling in that gap for the kids that are getting out of that era of WWE yeah. the last 10 years. And now, you know, they're like maybe 20, 21, 22 years old and they're getting back into it because this is different. It's more adult. It's reminiscent of the golden era that everybody talks about.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of those elements in here and that plays a part in, you know, why they're getting a million people a week.
There's also something to be said about really not relying on the history of pro wrestling, but alluding to it. You know, like I think one of the things that did it for me as a teen, and this is also because I have like a somewhat of a collector's mentality, clearly, is that when you watch WCW and you didn't know who a Jushin Thunder Liger was, they would tell you he is so-and-so from so-and-so. And that would make me be like, yo, I got to get some tapes.
I got to find out more about him. Yeah.
Got to find out more. Same thing with like Eddie Guerrero, you know? And I think WWE kind of did that a little bit in the early 2000s. But the most you get now in the modern era was, I think, when AJ Styles got signed, they were heavily pushing that he was an IWGP champion, you know, and that was cool. I feel like if I was a teen, I'd be like, what does that mean? I'd do some research and be like, oh man, there's a whole nother world out there. You get that a lot with AEW.
No, you get that a ton with AEW because they don't have that taboo-ness about it. You know why we got in the 2000s? Because Jim Ross was so familiar with the product and internally knew who these guys were. You know, you're watching, you know, Raw, are they really going to go deep dive into, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura's Wrestle Kingdom defense of the IWGP TV Intercontinental title? Probably not. They're not familiar with it. So it's a very different, and I brought up Raw. I don't know why, because he's on SmackDown, but it's just a different philosophy.
It really is. But let's wrap up Dynamite. Thunder Rosa and Mercedes Martinez beat Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Jamie Hayter with Rebel. Wardlow with Sean Spears defeated Cesar Bononi. So you're kind of getting more friction with Wardlow. Do you think he's going to finally turn?
Wardlow? I mean, unless he do with this unbelievable swerve where he doesn't. But I think they have to. Wardlow has become a breakout star in that company. They don't really have guys that big. You know, it's and obviously nobody has guys that big. You know, who do they have right now? They have
they got big dudes, man.
They got Brian Cage, Keith Lee, Hobbs, Luchasaurus, Wardlow, and I would say
the Bear Buddies.
No, I'm saying like Jack, big, brr,
oh, you know? like real, like just oof.
what I thought I looked like when I would go to Powerhouse Gym and I would do the gimmicks and I would get like really big, but I'm still small. That's by the way, there was this guy Milton. I'll never forget him. This guy Milton was so jacked. Okay, he was like he was the size of, I want to say, like bigger than Wardlow. You know what, Brian Cage? He was the size of Brian Cage. This guy. Okay. And he was a big time, you know, jacked gimmick guy.
Yeah.
And he got sick from doing so much.
Oh, boy.
And I saw him and I couldn't believe this was the same human being. He was like 130 pounds.
It's tough to sustain it, you know,
very difficult.
Unless you're a Billy Gunn.
Unless Billy Gunn is he's from another planet, you know. He's from
7 feet tall.
Planet. Yeah,
7 feet. Immortal. Golden.
So, I think you know what though? I think if you get a big jacked up dude like Warlow and make him into a top tier baby face, I think that's a benefit to the company.
Absolutely, but it doesn't like philosophically, doesn't that go kind of with hand in hand with that Vince logic?
It's I'm gonna tell you something, and it's a very unpopular opinion, but that logic works. Maybe not.
You
to
want
the, not
somebody
maybe
larger
not to,
than life.
Yeah, that logic always works. Yeah, the biggest names in the business have always been gigantic, jacked up dudes.
That is true.
For the most part. Yeah. I mean, that's what. You know what it is? I'm channel surfing. Yeah. I stop at Wardlow, or I stop at a Brian Cage. I stop at a Hobbs because a Keith Lee. Because you're looking at this guy, and you're like, oh my god, look at his size. How much does this guy weigh? That's what I tell my wife all the time. That's all I ask. Randomly, we're walking around. I'm like, how much does this guy weigh?
I'm so bad at guessing people's weight.
Are you? How much do you think I weigh right now? How much do you think I weigh?
I'm going to say 160.
No, 176.
All right.
Maybe I'm you know what? I'm a little bloated. I'm going to say I'm closer to 180 right now.
All right, take the compliment.
Thank you. I you know where my weight goes? Right in my butt.
You know what? I disagree with that. You have a flat butt.
I got a nice butt.
Does Andrew have a flat ass?
You know what? We will on our OnlyFans, we will have a competition. Who has the nicer butt?
How much do you think I weigh?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
You're in the twos.
Mm-hmm.
221.
Definitely in the twos. 221. Ooh, marry me, Andrew.
Are you 221?
I'm, I think, around like 276.
276. Wow, you're a big boy.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very thick.
Very thick boy. Wonderful.
I'm also 9 feet tall.
That is true. All right.
So, main event last night, Adam Cole and Red Dragon beating Hangman Page and Dark Order, John Silver and Alex Reynolds. Very fun main event. They're really setting up Adam Cole, I think, to be one of the future pillars of the company. But I don't think he gets the win over Hangman this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I'm not really... I think it's going to be a fantastic match. I think those two guys are great. But I think the positioning of this has not been that important. Right? This pay-per-view?
Yeah.
It's mostly... I mean, the big story has been Danielson. I mean, listen... If you're three matches, this is like the third on that match on your card. As far as interest goes, I think that's a fantastic card. And it says a lot about the pay-per-view. But the MJF and CM Punk match has really taken over as the top thing that people want to see. The Danielson and Moxley match is a top thing people want to see. And then obviously this is third. But, you know, where do you go from here? Maybe there's some sort of swerve. You know, should this be a clean finish?
Oh, I think this is going to be a very bloody match, by the way.
You think it's going to be? I imagine that, too.
I honestly think Revolution is going to turn into their version of One Night Stand, or like TLC, like a classic TLC, where everybody just gets gnarly bloody.
I think there's going to be a lot of blood on this pay-per-view.
I really think there's going to be a ton of blood on this pay-per-view. Yeah. Do you want to run down it real quick?
Yeah, let's do that quick.
All right, so this Sunday, AEW Revolution, here's the card, and we're going to give you like our quick predictions before moving on. AEW World Championship, Hangman versus Adam Cole. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Hangman, but maybe we see Kenny. Something happens.
Kenny, do you think Kenny possibly makes the save?
Or maybe he doesn't. Maybe Kenny. I don't know. I don't know Kenny's status. I mean, he did that interview saying he's really banged up, but you know, we're in March already, and pretty much it was saying that he's coming back in March in some capacity. I know that they really want to do that trios title.
Yeah.
There's a lot here. There's a lot of moving parts. I don't know. I have no prediction on this match. I do think Hangman's going to retain. I don't know how they'll do it.
I think Hangman retains.
My wild prediction is Adam Cole is about to win through funny business, right?
Okay.
Kenny takes out Adam Cole almost like Austin Rock style with Mankind getting the win.
Okay.
Hangman is confused. He's like, why are you helping me? Kenny points at the belt, basically saying, like, that's mine, and then gives Hangman the one wing angel, and then you have the setup for that, and then you get like the that adds more to the confrontations between the Bucks and Red Dragon, and it'll spiral out of control at some point.
Okay. I'm into that.
MG also posted the odds here. So Hangman's at minus 600 with Adam Cole at plus 225.
He's at plus 225. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
AEW Women's World Championship, Dr. Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa. Britt Baker at plus 225. Thunder Rosa at negative 350. I think Britt Baker retains. Also, a very bloody match.
Okay. I think Thunder Rosa wins this one.
Okay. AEW World Tag Team Championship, Jurassic Express versus Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks in a triple threat. I'm saying Red Dragon takes those belts.
Red Dragon. Okay. I can see that.
Face of the Revolution ladder match. A lot of these guys are guys I don't want to see on ladders. Keith Lee versus Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks versus Orange Cassidy versus our old pal, Turnbuckle Dan.
Turnbuckle Dan. Who do you think Turnbuckle Dan's going to be?
Jeff Hardy.
You think it's Jeff Hardy? In a ladder match?
If the contract...
Do your Jeff Hardy, let me see.
Whoa.
why did it almost become this?
I got to take a look at you. That's my Jeff Hardy. That's my Giuseppe Hardy.
Giuseppe Hardy?
If Hardy's 90 days are up, I would say Jeff Hardy is Turnbuckle Dan.
Okay. All right.
But other than that, I'm thinking Keith Lee wins.
I would want him to win. You know, yeah. I think it might be, it's a great way to catapult him. To like, you know, that title means something. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. You know,
that title does mean something. So we'll see what happens. I'm very interested. Listen, every match is something I want to see here.
Mm-hmm. Next up, you have the TBS Championship, Jade Cargill versus Tay Conti. I'm going to go with Tay Conti on this one.
I'm going with Jade.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. CM Punk versus MJF in a dog collar match. Super bloody. It's going to be.
Yeah.
If you thought last night was bloody, Sunday is going to be insane. I think MJF gets put through the ringer.
You think MJF wins?
No, I think MJF gets put through the ringer and Punk wins.
Okay. I think Punk should win.
Yeah. But I also think there's going to be some screwy stuff with the Pinnacle.
You think Wardlow's going to come out and not you know, murder CM Punk and help him to some extent?
Maybe he murders both of them.
Maybe. Why not?
Have we ever seen a triple dog collar match?
I'm sorry, Christian Cage and I forgot that this was a match. Christian Cage and Ethan Page is the last ladder match qualifier tomorrow.
Oh, so that's the Turnbuckle
Dan. Put in Christian Cage.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a ladder guy.
Maybe Jeff Hardy comes out and just takes him to the shadows.
There we go. As Willow.
I hope he comes in like a real lunatic. Like, I want him and
here.
Jeff. I want him and Matt to do the like a really wacky gimmick now. Like the Headbangers. I want them to come out like the Headbangers.
Well, I think, okay, so if you want to talk the Hardy stuff real quick.
Yeah.
As soon as Jeff comes, Big Money Matt is gone, right?
Yeah, that's done. That has to be done. Yeah.
So I want there to be your classic Hardy Boys, right? I want there to be Broken Matt and Willow.
I'm willing to bet we get a Broken Universe match.
Yes. I think that would be awesome.
That they bring it back. I thought, what a weird concept that worked really well.
Yeah.
You know, they really introduced this. They really brought this whole cinematic shooting. And, you know, there's something to be said about if they had not done it a lot of these like cinematic matches we got in the pandemic era would never have even been thought of.
I agree.
That Undertaker retirement match, we would have never thought of that.
That was awesome too.
Yeah, very well done.
I think Jeff Hardy is an inevitability. You got John Moxley versus Brian Danielson. I think this is going to be a bloody one too. I'm going with Mox on this.
I'm going to go with Mox as well.
Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. Again, these dudes are going to get the crap kicked out of each other. I'm going Kingston.
I'm going to go Jericho, but with a total heel turn.
Okay, that's cool. How do you feel about Jericho's new character tweak where, now hear me out.
Yeah.
He keeps calling himself the big one, right? I feel like they're really, really ramping up toward like a massive like poop joke by him saying that.
Is that what he's doing?
Because he keeps saying, he's like, I'm the big one. I'm the big one in AEW. I'm the big, you know what I mean? You're not the king of the mountain, all that stuff. I get this weird feeling where it's like, this is just a setup for like some kind of like diarrhea joke. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I you know, Jericho looks great.
He does.
He slimmed down a lot. He looks really good. And the last match he had, I haven't seen him move that fast in a ring in a long time. He was moving really well. I'm really excited. Again, another match I want to see.
Yeah.
Yonkers. That's Yonkers. Eddie Kingston. You want to hear it again?
Go ahead.
I'm from Yonkers.
Yonkers.
It's me, Eddie Kingston. I'm from Yonkers. We have a different water reserve than Manhattan.
Eddie, the best water. Kingston. The best waters in Yonkers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie Kingston is the living embodiment of the five boroughs, by the way.
He is. I love it.
It is 100% true. He is the walking, talking, living embodiment of Queens, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, and Brooklyn. Like, all in one.
I know a bunch of Eddie Kingstons walking around. I'm friends with a lot of Eddie Kingstons, too. Growing up in Queens.
Yeah, we both know a lot.
We know a lot.
There's a lot of those guys around. And like that, people think that's a joke, but no.
No, I'm not making a joke. I'm not. It's not a shot or anything. He is uniquely the five boroughs. Yeah. That is the epitome of the five. That's like, if you combine them all, is Eddie Kingston.
He's like the song at the end of the Bruce Springsteen song at the end of The Wrestler. Okay. You know, like if you hang out by a bodega, you've seen me. If you hang out by the OTB, you've seen me.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? Like
you're hanging out on Bell Boulevard at a dive bar, you see me. Yeah.
If you're waiting for the Tim shop to open, you've seen me.
I love it, man. What I'm so happy he's catapulted into this position.
Same here. And you have Darby Allin, Sting, and Sammy, interesting tag team, versus AHFO.
Can I tell you something? I don't care about this match.
You know what? Me neither, man.
Okay. I really thought that I missed like a week of something good happening. I don't like that Sammy's tagging with, like, I feel like it's just a match for a match, like to get him on the card. But listen, man. Tornado Trios tag match. So, listen, all right.
People want to see Sting.
Sting.
People want to see the Stanger. What else?
AEW coming to new markets this summer. Dynamite Los Angeles at the Forum, June 1st. Rampage in Ontario, California at the Toyota Arena, June 4th. And Dynamite and Rampage in Detroit, Michigan at the Little Caesars Arena on June 29th. I got a little feel good story about this.
Talk to me.
One of our viewers and DM me on Twitter, and he was like, "Hey, listen." He's like, "I this is like a weird thing, but maybe you could help me out." They're from the area in Detroit, and he had messaged Cody, and he's like, "Listen, my son's a big fan. I would love. Can you let me know when you're coming to Detroit?" And Cody was like, "Listen, I'll do you one better. I'll hook you up. When we're in Detroit, I'll hook you guys up with tickets," or whatever he was hooking them up with. He reached out to me, and I reached out to somebody at AEW, and they were going to look into it. Cody got back to him, and Cody's like, "Don't worry about it. I got you." Okay?
Wow.
Says a lot about his character.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Just want to put that out. I know it's a little insight-y stuff, but just shows you the character of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Stuff like that goes a long way.
Yeah. Love it. By the way, I think we're going this Saturday to the Garden.
Oh, that's happening?
I think it's happening. I'll,
all right.
Yeah.
Let me know if that's happening.
Take a little 25 milligram edible. Have a couple of beers. Yeah. Get a hot dog for like $40 at MSG.
That's the only way to do live wrestling.
I want Brock Lesnar. Like, this is what's gonna happen. I'm gonna have a couple drinks. I'm gonna take that edible and it's gonna kick at the right time when Brock Lesnar's dinosaur music hits, and he's gonna come out, and all I'm gonna see is Goro. From,
oh my god,
like he's gonna have multiple arms. That's mm-hmm. what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I want to hallucinate Mortal Kombat.
I want to hallucinate all of Mortal Kombat, like all the characters.
Are these seats comparable to the seats we got last time for MSG?
I don't know. I have no idea. The last time it was fantastic seats.
Oh, they were great seats. They were open bar. Oh my gosh. Let's see. What else do we have here, Andrew, as far as like these news? By the way, that Little Caesars Arena is made of pizza.
It is the whole thing. Stuffed crust, dude. It's all stuffed crust. The pillars are all stuffed crust. No wonder that city's falling apart. SmackDown news. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns had a contract signing. Brock beat up the security. Naomi and Sasha reunited as a team to challenge for the tag titles. Mm-hmm. McMahon is going on Pat McAfee's show. Today at 2 p.m.
Oh, boy.
This is going to start an angle. The story is that Vince McMahon, at the age of 75, will be competing in some sort of match. Now, obviously, there's going to be a ton of smoke and mirrors here. Once again, what is happening?
Smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors. This is... is he going to come out jacked? Can you imagine? He comes out shirtless. Doing one of these again?
He's shredded, dude, so I would not be surprised. Did you just turn him into Goldberg?
Bah.
Do you want to see Vince versus Goldberg?
I want to see Vince McMahon come out as Goldberg in the underwear.
Oh, the underwear. Doing the kicks?
Doing the kicks. I want to see Vince McMahon throw a kick.
I think that's the last thing you want to see.
Bah. All right, so that's at 2 p.m. today, so I'm sure there's a lot of news that's going to come out of there. WrestleMania update. All right. WrestleMania is touting the main event as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time. It's a winner take all. They're calling it a unification match.
There you go.
I don't know what this means. Maybe short term. Because it's not a double champion, it's a unified champion. So do you walk around with two belts and defend both belts? I don't know.
They're going to call him Brocky Two Belts?
Why not bring back the unified title? Why not bring the undisputed title?
Yes. I love that belt.
That, you know what? Underrated. Only got a couple years out of that belt. John Cena had to ruin that whole effing thing with that stupid spinner.
It's a big boy belt too, man. Like that belt was like thick.
They made it
massive.
Small. I think the Lesnar one was big, but I think when Eddie had it, they made it smaller. Or it was a smaller version.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So there's one of them that's, I think version two is huge. I mean, it's like monstrous in size. I don't know. Let's see what happens. I'm curious. Do we get a new belt? Do we get a new title belt? You know what would be cool though? Like occasionally you unify this title, right? And I'm thinking as like marketing.
Yeah.
You bring a unified title out. You could bring like the Undisputed Championship or something.
Yeah.
That symbolizes a unified title. And then when they lose one of them, that title goes away forever. It's gone.
Yeah.
Until you unify again. And then you bring, you know, that, and you make it like a special commemorative title. You sell a whole buttload of these at like $1,500 because WWE will do that. And they make a ton of money off of it.
Some people
think
the
big gold is coming back. I don't think that's accurate at all. I don't think they want to go back to that.
Dead and buried. I think if anything, if they want to do something cool, Eagle Wing belt, but I doubt that's going to happen too.
I doubt it too. Yeah. All right, Pat McAfee, Vince McMahon is listed internally as a match. This is the Austin level act that people were talking about. This is it.
I guess it's not Austin.
You know what though? This is an Austin level act, right? If you're talking about like a big match, like Vince McMahon is 76 years old, all right, whatever. They're gonna do something pretty cool. AJ Styles versus Edge, very excited for this. Edge turned heel. He looks insane.
Oh yeah, gnarly.
Oh, he looks like a nutty guy.
He does look like a nutty guy.
Oh, crazy. The eyes and the hair and the makeup. It takes talent to play Frankenstein. It's all makeup and grunting.
Where are you going with this? Is Ed Wood turning into a Frankenstein?
It's Ed Wood. Karloff does not deserve to smell my shit.
I do enjoy it. I love heel Edge.
Oh, yeah. Very cool stuff. You know what? Good match for AJ, too. Yeah. Signed a contract, kind of big deal. Wrestling Edge on the pay-per-view. Naomi and Sasha versus Carmella and Zelina for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Announced for night one. We got Ronda and Charlotte, Becky and Bianca, Miz and Logan Paul versus the Mysterio Boys. Night two, Roman and Brock, unassigned. Zelina and Carmella versus Sasha and Naomi. Well, that is not true. Oh, yeah. Zelina and Carmella is unassigned, and Edge and AJ is unassigned. Put it on night two, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends, right? Where's Austin going and where's Vince going? Obviously, they won't be on the same night.
Yeah. Where do you
Austin
place
night two?
Where do you place Austin on the card, by the way?
I think it has to be like third to the top.
Not the top?
No, no. No, because I don't think it's going to be that kind of match.
Third to the top, buffer in between, right?
Yeah, I think you use it as a buffer, but like it's not like a go to the bathroom buffer. You know, sometimes they do that when the card is so set. Listen, man, this is a really strong card too.
It's very good. It's going to be a lot of fun.
This is a very good WrestleMania card for two nights. You're talking, forget it. I'm talking on paper, right? On paper. You look at this on paper and you're like, okay, you got AJ and Edge. You got Roman and Brock with a stipulation we haven't seen them do. Ronda and Charlotte, people want to see. Becky and Bianca, people want to see. AJ Edge, okay, people want to see. Austin is going to be a interesting concept. And McMahon is going to be a train wreck.
But a fun train wreck.
A fun train wreck. Yeah, not in a bad way. Not a bad way. Let's see what else we got here. We could skip NXT. NXT highlights.
Yeah, sure.
We don't need to do that. Next Tuesday is NXT Roadblock. Braun Breaker defends his title in a triple threat match against Dolph Ziggler and Tommaso Ciampa. NXT Tag Team Championship, Imperium defends it against the challengers, the Creed Brothers, and LA Knight and Grayson Waller. I think LA Knight is coming up soon.
Yeah, I think so too. Listen, with Finn winning the U.S. title on Monday, I think LA Knight would be such a great opponent for him.
You know what? This is what I'm thinking. Exactly your point. I think what you do with him, you have him hold on to this title for a while. By the way, not to take away from our boy, or one of our favorites.
Yeah, Damian Priest.
I thought that promo he cut 2 weeks ago was stellar. I think that was his best work in the company. I thought they solidified him as a top guy. And then, you know, obviously he dropped the title, so this is going to go back and forth. But, you know, you have him in the mix. You bring in maybe Ciampa comes in the mix. Maybe LA Knight comes in the mix. You make this like the NXT guys fighting for this title and putting on some really good matches. I'm all cool with that. Very cool stuff. Also, I think we reported this earlier. WWE is shutting down WWE Network in Russia and along with everybody else shutting down their content in Russia. So let's go into, where do you want to go? You want to do Q&As?
Let's do Q&A. We got a lot of questions lined up.
I want to do B's and Z's. I don't want to do
Q's. You want to do some B's and Z's?
Yeah, let's do some B's and Z's.
Guys, send us your B's and Z's.
All right, guys, submit your questions. Hit the super chat. We'll do our best to answer all your questions. We're almost at $200 today on the show. Let's hit 200, guys. Let's try to get there.
Yeah, let's hit 700.
That pays. That $200 is going to pay for MG for either MG Geek or Suncast to get a flight from Detroit to Nebraska. So we still need to get them the other way.
Like we said before at the top of the show, guys, we're trying to get this Vegas trip going. Today's our litmus test. If you want to super chat us with the hashtag Viva Las Vegas, that goes right into the fund to get your boys to Vegas. So we'll give you shout outs. We're going to do a lot of incentive stuff. And as far as the questions go, if you want, feel free to super chat us for questions too. You'll be right at the top. And we got a couple from the beginning of the show, and let's go right into it. But first, Bachelor 3000, as always, $1.99. I think he called us his sweet cucamongas today.
We are his, from Rancho Cucamonga?
Sure.
Rancho Cucamonga, you're on the air.
We got Joel Wood, 1999. Thanks, Joel. Let's see. I'm going to send this to the screen. It's funny to me. Tony buys Ring of Honor to give him an excuse.
No, can you do me a favor? Yeah. Do me a favor. Can you do it in like a voice? Do it in a voice. Do a voice. I don't know.
All right. This is 1999 from Joel Wood. You know, it's funny to me.
There you go.
Don't buy his Ring of Honor to give him an excuse just to sign more guys and just stick the ones he doesn't use in Ring of Honor. Tony's becoming more like Vince McMahon and doing the same stuff Vince did, and nobody says nothing. Is that good?
I think that was good. It's funny to me, Tony buys Ring of Honor to give him an excuse just to sign more guys. I don't think it's to sign more guys. I honestly don't think he had the roster in mind with the signing. I think it's more of evaluating your value as a company by having assets and also building a streaming platform, which is what they're doing. What that's the plan here, is to build archive footage for streaming. You can't really do that with just a year and a half or 2 years of Dynamite or three, you know, coming up on 3 years. And most of that is in an empty building. You can't do that with only, how many pay-per-views have they had? 12?
Yeah, like not even, right?
Like you don't really have much here, and you need to build it. Obviously, they have some, the trademarks, the intellectual property, there's value in that. The toy side of things, people are not remembering. You know, they have a good deal for their action figures. Why not put out a Ring of Honor limited series with all these guys? You know, now you could do the CM Punk version of the Ring of Honor toy.
Exactly.
You know, now you could do all, you got it. This is what I do for a living.
Make action figures?
Dude, I make
you've been
action
making
figures.
Action figures this whole time.
Dude, this whole time. Do you want to see my Howard Stern?
I would love to see a Howard Stern.
Here's my Howard Stern action figure. Baba Booey. There you go. Who did the Baba Booey?
You know what? I like that joke. It's a good joke.
Did he hit Baba Booey?
That's a good joke.
He just ran away. I also make these.
Always.
I make these and I sell them on Etsy.
Oh, those, what are those? Yeah. Are you a brony?
No, no, no. This is like crystals. Like, you know how all the girls are into crystals now?
Yeah.
I make unicorns and I sell those.
When are you going to start making candles?
Oh, that's next, dude. My brother makes candles. Mm. Alec makes candles.
Does he really?
Everything smells very musky when he makes them. no, man, I think this is a, you know, this is how it is. And Ring of Honor was dying. They wanted to sell. It's not like Tony Wen is like, I'm going to give you a ton of money that you can't refuse. Ring of Honor was looking to sell their product. I think it's a great, Joel, I think it's a good question to ask. You know, does two people, three people controlling the entire industry, is that a positive, you know, for the future of it? I think this is all conversations to have.
Yeah. You ready for the next one?
Great question, though. Or
yeah, very good. Like very good question. This is from Michael Redden. And I lost it on the
queue
over here.
Big there, Daddy okay, Dave did. Yeah. Okay, you want to read it?
Yeah, Big Daddy Dave did mention that Honor Club streaming service is part of the deal. I think the commentary was trolling last night, mentioning Euphoria on HBO Max and JR saying MJF needs Dr. Milfy.
Did he actually say that? I didn't hear that at all on commentary.
I was actually watching last night over dinner with my wife, and we were laughing our asses off because JR made like a 20-year-old Sopranos reference to Dr. Melfi. Like, there's no other TV psychiatrist that he could have thought of.
Yeah. Dr. Kramer.
Dr. Kramer.
I think for now, I mean, but Honor Club doesn't mean anything. Like, it's a bunch of hoops you got to jump through to sign up, and you're getting this archive footage that really you don't really have. I don't know. I don't think Honor Club is the answer here. I think this is a temporary solution until they come up with their streaming service, which is going to be soon. So I don't know. I have Honor Club. I paid for it, and I never watched a thing on there.
I know. I remember you would always say that. You'd be like, I got this thing that I'm really doing nothing with.
Like, I would watch like certain things, like when Kenny and the Bucks were doing stuff, I would go, it wasn't a priority for me to look at what Honor Club was doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a financially, there's a different way to make money off of this, a better way than Honor Club.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Again, Tony's a numbers guy. He's got those stats. I'm sure he's got a nice little Excel sheet. With everything that he could do. All right, this next one is from James Mordor, 1999. Thank you, James. Enjoy Vegas, fellas. Do you think we'll see AEW invade Supercard of Honor or vice versa with Ring of Honor guys invading Revolution or Dynamite?
I mean, are you saying an invasion? I think we'll probably see those guys at that supercard. Considering, here's the thing. Samoa Joe, he's a wild card in this, right?
There you go.
I think that with Punk and Danielson being there for the Hall of Fame, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, for sure. This next one is from Joel Wood, another $4.99. Thanks, Joel. What do you think is more likely? Cody Rhodes returns to AEW, Cody Rhodes returns to WWE, or Cody and Brandy return to run Ring of Honor?
I think WWE.
I would love them to do the Ring of Honor swerve.
Oh, man, I think that'd be a great swerve, but I don't think that's the reality.
I would, you know what? Yeah, I think the reality, who knows what the reality is? You know, like much like the question of where's Bray Wyatt / Wyndham Rotunda, where's Cody going to go? You know,
I think a lot of people know where Bray is, but they're not saying a word. I'll just put that out there. I think a lot of people know the deal and the situation, and and they're just not talking about it yet.
Andrew, a lot of players on the board right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting moving parts across the world of professional wrestling. This is like a big upheaval, by the way. Like 2022 right now, crowds are back. People are hot on wrestling. It's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Kyle Masters, $10. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
What up, boys? Always a fan. Always a big fan of the shows. Question to you guys is simple today. If AEW created their own WWE network type service, would you keep pay-per-views on Fight or BR or free with the AEW network?
They make a ton of money on the pay-per-views. So let's do the math. Mm-hmm. I think All Out had over 200,000 buys at $50 a pop, right? Mm-hmm. Let's do that math. Calculator.
Bust out that calculator, bro.
200,000 times 50. They made $5 billion, dude.
Oh, no, wow.
They made a ton of money on this show. So, I obviously, you split it with the pay-per-view providers. I don't know what that cut agreement generally is, 50-50 or 60-40 or whatever it is. But, you know, why would you give that money up? I think they're going to continue with the pay-per-view format. Maybe they'll do like a, you know, I don't think Fight's the answer. I don't think BR Live is the answer. I don't think that it's been serving the need the way it should. But, you know, HBO doesn't have that ability right now to do pay-per-views.
Right.
Unless guys, HBO pays them a buttload of money for the content to put it on there. They renegotiate and they figure out, like, we're going to make more money giving it away for whatever we're giving it away for. You know, a lot of this is still up in the air. I don't think they're going to drop the pay-per-view model. But with that said, dude, what does that do to the... If they drop that pay-per-view model, right? If they change the pricing to, like, $9.99 a month.
Yeah.
Do you get a million people to sign up? I don't think so.
I agree with that. Yeah, it's too soon, right?
It is. It's too soon to drop the pay-per-view. We'll see what happens. You know, doing it four times a year is good. It's easy.
Yeah.
But when you now have, and I do expect AEW to add more pay-per-views in the coming years, because four is a little too little, and we saw that the experiment with the Battle of the Belts didn't work out the way that people, you know, that was going to be their in-betweens once a quarter. So now you get up to eight pay-per-views. So, or eight specials. Now that's an hour show, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't positioned as a top pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of need to add more. And at what point does it become exhausting to the consumer's wallet? Dishing out $200 a year to watch wrestling is very different than dishing out, you know, $1,600.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry, $800 or $1,200. You know, it's a lot of money. So we'll see.
All right, this next one is from Ryan Evans, $5. Thank you, Ryan. Cody booking Ring of Honor makes so much sense. I'm one of the few who don't think he will sign with WWE. Regal makes so much sense for the authority figure.
Regal would be great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I think with Ring of Honor and a Regal would be positioned, you know, concentrating on the wrestling and, you know, Very interesting. Is this going to be, and people not really saying it, is this their NXT competitor?
Interesting.
You know? That's an interesting thing here, where is Ring of Honor going to become AEW's NXT competitor? And, you know, the wrestling will probably be way better. I don't know. You're not going to get the glitz and glam that WWE does with their character mm-hmm. development. We're seeing that already in NXT. I think this might be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. You ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this is from Kyle Masters again, Elite POV. $10. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
For Vegas and MG Geek, baby.
Nice. Thank you.
We got one from EMC4K here, $9.99. Part of AEW's success, aside from its roster, was its booking. Do you see Tony booking both promotions? If not, who's on your short list to book Ring of Honor going forward?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think Tony will be hands up. We're going with the assumption that they're going to run.
Right.
So I think Tony would be involved. I think it'd be more like, I don't know. That's a great question. I think Tony would probably want to be hands-on with that. Obviously, the input of guys like, you know, Danielson and all those guys would be a huge asset to Ring of Honor, considering they were there mm-hmm. and they understand the philosophy there. I don't know. I think Tony would end up doing it. What do you think?
Honestly, like my straight up gut instinct, give the book to the Bucks.
I don't know. Are they good bookers? I don't know. I don't know much about their booking.
I think they could definitely book a top to bottom, like a solid Ring of Honor show, you know? Let's see. This is a comment from Joel Pearl, friend of the show. Cody's coming to SmackDown on Friday. Just you wait and see.
Why? Did he call you?
I think he called Joel. This is from Shin. Chips or popcorn? Hashtag ask Matt Men.
Chips.
Yeah, I'm a chips guy, man.
Yeah. I don't like the kernels getting stuck in my teeth.
Nah, I'm not a fan of farty ass popcorn, man. this is from BDZ41 off of Twitch. Could Tony acquire the PWG library as well?
I think that would be, you know, that's a great question, because a lot of those guys are in AEW right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of those PWG guys. And PWG's been very protective of their content for years. That's why everything was DVD. You know, how do you,
yeah.
PWG, let's see. Let me go to their website. Let me see what I can, PWG website.
And it's funny how they do have, like, Excalibur is, like, so quiet, you know? Like, apart from the announcing, it's very fascinating.
And they still don't have any streaming content. They're selling Blu-rays. Their website is right out of, you know, 1999. They're selling Blu-rays.
Pasadena.
They have no media presence on the internet, really, very little. They put out some stuff. Like, I'm looking at their preview videos. They get about, 22,000 for this video. PWG Preview Mystery Vortex 7 does 61,000. You know, I think the archive footage would be very valuable to them. Those guys all work in PWG. Why not? But I don't know if their PWG is interested. Mm-hmm. They've had a very different model than most people.
Exactly. They're their own thing. And I think maybe it's one of those things where, like, they'll forever be kept their own entity.
Yeah.
This next one is from Aaron Hedgemowski.
Okay.
Let's be real here. Mm-hmm. Meltzer, Keller, Johnson have repeatedly said that the old content viewed on the WWE Network really isn't viewed in large numbers. How is AEW really going to monetize this footage?
Well, I think that's the case now. I think when they initially put everything on there, it was tremendous, the amount of people that were watching the older content. You know, when all those WCWs went up and when all those old Raws went up, that's all people were talking about. Was all the older episodes. So I think at one point, you know, it's time-based. You know, they put it up, people watch it, and then they forget about it. And they watched it already. I think that this will be interesting to a core AEW following. But it's more about having the access to create packages for the guys that you have already with that footage. That's what that's what really it's about. And it's also having the product. I think they'll do well with this. I think that, like, I have tremendous interest in seeing a version of those early Ring of Honor matches on the internet that's not in 240p.
Oh, yeah, really?
You know? I would love to do that. In a way that I could, like, go into my bedroom, you know, just hanging out, dim the lights.
Turn the lights off.
Tell Jesse, get a bottle of champagne, open up a bottle of Vuvka Clow, get in the tub, bring my laptop, and I lock the door, and I just watch Ring of Honor from 2004. Nobody else wants to do that?
What happens when you accidentally drop your laptop in the tub?
It's like a comedic, it's like a comedy electrocution.
All the lights start blinking in and out of the house. This next one's from Iaz Akhtar, the grape.
The grape Akhtar. Iaz
Akhtar. But I want you to read it. I want you to read it.
Okay.
There we go.
Can I do it in his voice?
You can do it in his voice or the voice that this requires.
Listen, it's a little bit ethnically insensitive, though.
Voice, oh, no. All right?
So I don't want to get canceled for this. You ready?
Okay.
I'm going to do a great Iaz Akhtar. Scooby Doo, a Ring of Honor crossover incoming? It's called Ro-Oh.
That's a good joke.
Hey, Mayor de Blasio, pick up the garbage.
Can you do our new governor, the impression of our new governor?
Our mayor or governor?
Governor.
Hochul?
Yeah, Hochul.
I don't even know what she sounds like.
She's very soft.
Oh, I know what she sounds like. Hey, Eric Adams, time to clean up the subways. What are yous doing?
What are yous doing? That's good. I could listen to that all day. I maybe
you know what's
one.
Funny? I think people are so annoyed by it, but you and my wife are the only two people that regularly have me do that voice.
Yeah.
So my wife will look at someone and be like, hey, how about that guy in this scenario? What do you think? And she always sets up the joke too. Perfect.
Doing improv, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing improv now.
I do really, really, really get a kick out of that voice. And I think we've done it consistently for the last like 100 episodes.
That hurt my chest. He is actually Mikey Dreamer in Twitch says, pretty sure all of Conrad Thompson's podcasts get views on old content. That's very true. I think there is a niche for this. There definitely is a niche.
Let's see. We got another super chat here from EMC4K. Being that Ring of Honor has no contracted wrestlers currently, do you send heavy hitters like Mox or Danielson and make ROH less of an NXT developmental and more of a Raw SmackDown relationship to Dynamite?
I think that's very dangerous. Dangerous because I have a very unpopular opinion, and I think Rampage is a detriment to the overall product of AEW. I think it's a detriment to Dynamite. Because you're taking guys strategically and you're moving them for ratings on another show that's not positioned as important as your main show.
Right.
And we know why Tony had to do it. Warner Media wanted a third hour of Dynamite. And this was the compromise here. So, you know, I get it. I get why they're doing it. Obviously, the more content you're creating, the more ad revenue you're generating and more revenue for you you're generating. But if you move these guys now to another area, what does that do? How does that diminish your main product? I've said this from day one. I get the concept of Rampage, but putting it on a Friday at 10 o'clock, you set yourself up already for a rough position. And you're gonna bring out heavy guns like a CM Punk or a Danielson or a Moxley on that show. And guess what you're doing? You're taking them away from the main thing that's drawing the eyeballs. So I know that there's a balance here and they're attempting the balance, and I don't think they're doing a bad job at it, at the balance, but Rampage will never do more than 600,000 people. Maybe 700. Maybe.
Maybe.
You know, like on a big mega night, you do 700,000. Okay. But it's a 500,000 to, you know, 600,000 viewer show. And I think that's great. But do you put a guy like Danielson and CM Punk and Moxley and on that show regularly? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, who knows what the future will hold. I think we'll know better within the next like month or two, right?
Yeah.
Let's see here. This is from BC Knight on Twitch. Hashtag Ask Matman.
Ask the Matt Men. I'm going to get slammed for this, but should Tony Khan and Warner Media pull the plug on Rampage and replace it with Ring of Honor?
I don't think they can. You know, I thought about that too, by the way. You know, do you convert that into a Ring of Honor show on Fridays? I mean, that would be the great, that would be, you could keep Ring of Honor intact. You could have it in the same building. You could, you know, it, you could do something with that, but I don't know longevity wise what that means to the ratings. Is a Ring of Honor brand as big as Rampage? You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't have those metrics. I'm sure that Tony's going to consider that, you know, looking at that. What with, does Rampage have more value than a Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I think at this point.
And that, by the way, and here's the thing. Maybe you could, maybe you move, you know, your TNT title or your TBS title gets defended in that. But other than that, you don't get to see Moxley and Danielson and Omega and those guys that often on that show, if ever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't, I think Ring of Honor should be used more of a developmental product, and you could take, you know, one of the show that you're filming in Universal, rebrand that as Ring of Honor, and you start building talent that way. And now you have a competitor, and maybe you put that on HBO Max, and that becomes the HBO Max show.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good solution.
Original content, first run content.
Yeah. And up those HBO Max subscriptions too.
I like HBO Max a lot, dude.
Same here. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
This is interesting. This next one's going to, I feel like we're going to touch on our philosophy with wrestling here. This is from Ryan Armstrong. Daniel Bryan faced Dean Ambrose twice in WWE. Do your homework, fellas. This match between Daniel Bryanson and Jon Moxley is a match we saw before in WWE. It's not, though.
I mean, we saw this match.
You saw those two people have a match.
Yeah.
But not this.
Not in AEW. We haven't seen this match.
Right.
I didn't say that they've never had a match.
I think it's the first time in AEW. Yeah. You're not going to get the same exact. I think people would lose their mind if they saw a typical WWE match on AEW television, right? Like, I think people are just waiting for that. They're waiting for that moment to see like a 2 minute nonsense match so they can take a bigger dump on AEW.
Yeah, but listen, we saw we've seen a lot of matches, but it's not always the same match, you know. There's a different style level in WWE. There's a different work rate in WWE. These guys were programmed differently. There were different producers, different agents. You know, these are all different, these are all factors when you're building the match, and I feel like these guys, this is the closest we'll come to them being unrestricted in any way of having a match. And we didn't get to see this match in AEW.
Right, right. And it would be a very different match, much like if we saw Punk versus Ambrose a billion times. I think if they finally have like a match, it'll be different, right?
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. MG, you're going to have to start adding some more questions to the queue. Let's just take them right from the chat room. Here you go. Ryan Pittinger says, I can see AEW bringing the ROH six-man titles into the fold since they've been rumored to start six-man titles since the creation of AEW.
Is that question on the screen? There we go. I can see AEW bringing... the Trios title's coming. I think Dave mentioned this. I love that Wolverine cover, by the way. I think Dave mentioned it on Observer Radio where it looks like they're waiting for Kenny to return. But this was discussed. I mean, we're talking 2 years now. We're talking about this and more now you're seeing the word trio use, six man use a lot more on AEW TV. And that's all strategic. That's to put in the back of your mind. Like, okay, trio. This is what it means. This is what it is. I think when Kenny comes back, we'll start getting to that, but they could definitely use a trios title.
Yeah. Here's one that's kind of been floating around and I'm just going to pick one. At random, but a lot of people have asked this question. Is Tony going to buy Impact next?
You know, that would be the trifecta, right? That would be it. I don't know if he's going to... Do they want to sell? Does Anthem want to sell Impact? Mm. I think right now they're on a channel that is theirs. Their ratings are going up, not down. You know, they've seen some growth, like 10 to 15% growth some weeks, 20% growth some weeks. But Brandon Thurston does a great job with those numbers. If you're interested in those numbers, go follow him on Twitter. I think that if you have access to that footage, to that Impact footage, I don't know, what does Impact Plus make? Do they have a lot of subscribers?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let's see. Impact Plus. You know, I think Impact would be worth more than Ring of Honor. Right now, they have... Oh, they're airing something right now on Impact Plus. When you go
there. Let's watch it.
What are they putting? Let's see. It is... Oh, it says, we are experiencing technical difficulties. I think I broke
them. Of course
them.
They are.
I don't know. You know, what kind of... How much is Impact Plus? Let's see. You get the pay-per-views. It is $71 a year, $7.99 a month.
I thought you were going to say
$71
a month.
You can also watch for free without a subscription, and you can watch, and it has an app. You can watch on all the app stores. So, I don't know. I don't know if that's a reality or not. I think that if they could, they would get access to that archive, but I think Impact is in a far better position right now than Ring of Honor is. Obviously, look at their title. They got Moose as a champion, Mickey James as a Knockout Worlds champion. They have Trey Miguel as the X Division champion. Digital Media champion is Matt Cardona. You got the Good Brothers as the tag champions, and you got the Inspiration as tag champions. I mean, they got a good looking roster too. They got a very good looking roster.
They do.
I'm a big fan of Chris Bay, by the way.
Chris Bay's great newest addition to the Bullet Club, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I that's a great question. I don't know. I never say never, but I think Impact is in a far better position than what ROH is doing right now. Which is so sad because I fucking love ROH, you know?
I know. It's very interesting, you know. But again, the upheaval of pro wrestling, the landscape. We're gonna see some very fun stuff in the next year.
Yeah.
You want to do one more question and then get out of here?
Yeah.
All right. This is from Iaz again, the grape hanging out with his bunches. Doesn't ROH still have titles floating around? What happens with those? That's a good question.
Yeah, they do. You know, the deal was just recently signed, so I envision that they're going to continue the Impact stuff because they do have a decent relationship with Impact, you know. But you know, this is just another little addition to the world of Tony Khan. You know, right now, like, I think here's one thing I'm going to say. AEW has a lot of great talent that is not being utilized in a position they should be.
Exactly.
Right? Like, Jay White right now is an interesting conversation to have. This guy is obviously the future of pro wrestling over the next decade.
Yes.
You know, maybe you don't see him as that guy today, but Seth Rollins wasn't considered that guy when he showed up.
Right.
This guy's 29 years old. He's young. He's great in the ring. He's a good promo. So what happens to him? You know, what happens to a Moose in wrestling?
Exactly.
You know, who's a Ring of Honor champion right now? Is it Gresham?
I want to say yes. You know, I think it's also a matter of, like, listen, not all your favorite guys are going to be on top. You know, as much as you want.
I know Swerve's coming to AEW.
Possibly Cesaro too, right?
Cesaro is a free agent now. You could do something with him. Bandito. You know, you have such abundant talent available in pro wrestling, and it just shows you how good wrestling has become. It really shows. I mean, I can't remember a time that we had this much quality. I mean, this much quality talent. Talent that you don't make excuses about, you know? Like, I'm saying...
Exactly.
Like, oh, he could be good. Oh, he's great. Okay, I'll give you one.
Shoot.
I'll give you one. Let me just double check. Okay, Scott Norton, okay?
Okay.
Scott Norton was a tremendous powerlifter, tremendous wrestler, did great in Japan. IWGP heavyweight champion.
Okay? Yes.
He was lost in WCW.
Yeah, I think that's a fascinating...
He was lost.
Fascinating
it,
thing.
It wouldn't have... It didn't make sense for him. Like, it didn't... They never pushed him as this giant, you know, over guy like you did in Japan. It just worked in the territory. And you're going to get that in AEW. You're going to have guys that were big acts in a certain territory and it's just not working in AEW. And it's going to be disappointing to a lot of people, but when you have a big roster like this, this is what happens. I'm very curious to see where these guys go. There's a lot of great talent. And I think we have one last super chat.
Yeah, from Joel Wood, $4.99. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you,
Has
Joel.
Has Rock C signed with WWE?
I think she did. Didn't she sign? Am I wrong here?
I'm not sure. I think there was a lot of hubbub around what was happening with her, you know, since.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I thought she was going there. By the way, WWE's holding tryouts WrestleMania weekend. It will be holding multi-day tryout exclusive to current and recently graduated college athletes during WrestleMania week in early April, as it's looking to find a new crop of future talent, The Atlantic has learned. This is via The Atlantic. The company also has talent evaluators at this week's NFL Combine. Wow, that's interesting. And a national scouting combine in search for more participants.
I do think Roxy would fare better off in WWE, to be honest with you.
I think Roxy would do well in WWE.
Yeah, she would, because WWE has a way of making their signed female talent like into really big deals really fast.
Yeah, we've seen what they're doing in NXT. They're doing a great job with that.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing they can't do with that women's division. You know, yeah. Like they really, it's interesting how they build so many female stars. And it's interesting also how like the NXT, I feel like the males have been suffering in NXT for the last couple of years.
Yeah. It says a lot about the developmental program right now.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. All right. I think that's it, guys. I think we're done.
How long yeah.
An hour 40, almost 2 hours here, guys.
Look at that.
Holy moly. Big show. Guys, we're going to be back this Sunday. I'll be back with Wrestling Observer Live Hour 1 with a guest. Hour 2 is a Mattman Takeover where we run down AEW Revolution and talk about everything coming up on the pay-per-view. Right after that, we're going straight, bam, into our watch-along for AEW Revolution. So Sunday night, we're going to be live with you guys for a while. So grab a couple drinks, order your food, start hitting that super chat. Well, that's the goal with this one. We're going to fund it. Get the boys to Vegas.
Hell yeah.
All right. Where can people find you, Rich?
You can find me on my chosen social media platform of choice. That is Twitter at BTC Rich.
You can find me on Twitter at Andrew Zarian. Also Mattman Podcasts, everywhere podcasts are available, and on the Wrestling Observer website, F4WOnline.com. We'll be back next week. See y'all later.
Later.